this is where mice are normally housed when they aren't going.
Okay, go with me for a second here because I want to talk about female mice.
So this is a new mom who had some babies last week.
I'm in the mouse room in the basement of MSU's Biomedical and Physical Sciences building. PhD student Claire Manning and Professor A.J. Robison are giving me the tour. And for decades, researchers have studied pretty much only male mice. They thought female mice were too messy and could screw up their results because female mice have their equivalent of a menstrual cycle, which is called an estrous cycle. Professor A.J. Robison says, yes, they do.
But guess what? Female humans have estrous cycles. Should we just ignore that as part of our disease treatment? No, that's a good model for male and female humans, which is who we're trying to actually figure this stuff out for.
In the last few years, this has been starting to change. And as scientists are studying female mice more, they are seeing these really surprising sex differences, not just in who's susceptible to this disease or that addiction, but even how sex can determine how diseases show up in the body and the brain, whether it's Down syndrome or heart disease or cancer. This is why Claire Manning, that PhD student, is hooked on this field.
When I came in, I posited to AJ, you know, maybe these male and female mice are doing the exact same thing, their brains work the exact same way in these type of symptoms, but maybe they don't, and we don't know. That's a whole open field.
Years ago, when Manning was considering working in a bunch of different labs, Professor A.J. Robison told her, hey, I really want to hire you, but you should know my lab looks at how depression and addiction work in the brain, and I'm not interested in studying sex differences.
But then somehow I was able to convince her that my lab was the right spot for her, and then somehow she was able to convince me that I should be doing sex differences research. And then that's what happened, because I knew she was smart and I listened to what she said.
What Robison's lab has been looking at is this one particular circuit in your brain that we know has something to do with depression. So picture a highway in your brain running from the emotional memory part to the part that handles reward and motivation. So one day, Robison's team is having a lab meeting, and this other grad student says, hey, I've been running these tests, and my results are all over the place. Some of the mice are showing a lot of activity in this one brain circuit, but others, not so much. And Professor Robison says he told this grad student, who's named Liz Williams, that that was a problem.
And of course, my thought was, Liz, what'd you do wrong?
I don't know if I remember him saying that I was wrong necessarily.
This is Liz Williams. She is the one whose data looked messy until she realized, what if we separated these results by sex? And when they did, it suddenly was neat and clear. The female mice were showing a lot of activity in this circuit of the brain, and the male mice were not. Now, knowing that this brain circuit plays a role in depression, they thought, could this have something to do with why women are diagnosed with depression twice as much as men? So they ran an experiment. They put both male and female mice through some stress tests and watched their reactions. Would the stress make them depressed? And in the female mice, the answer was yes. Stress set off all this activity in this one circuit of their brain. And Liz Williams says they lost interest in something that they used to love, in this case, sugar water.
Or in other words, they didn't really care about this thing that was probably, you know, tasty and induced joy. To some degree, as much as a mouse can experience joy.
But it was a completely different story for the male mice. Stress did not set off a lot of activity in that brain circuit. They still loved the sugar water. It's like this part of their brain was literally resilient to this stress. But why? Claire Manning thought, okay, maybe it's hormones.
And so, you know, maybe we're wrong, but let's see, you know, if testosterone might be playing a role.
That turned out to be key. When they removed testosterone from the male mice, they were no longer resilient to stress. Their brain circuit was super active. They lost interest in sugar water. For the first time, they were kind of depressed.
And if we gave testosterone to females, they were resilient to this stress paradigm. They still liked sugar just the same as their control counterparts after stress.
just to be sure that it was this one brain circuit that was controlling the depression, the team used genetic tools to reach into the brains of these mice and turn this circuit on and off like a light switch. When they turned the circuit off in females, they were suddenly resilient to the stress. Now, obviously, it's not like this is something that's ready for market. You can't just give women a lot of testosterone and say, good luck with your depression. And plenty of findings in mice do not translate to humans. But it is further evidence that looking at sex differences is like looking at this new planet that still needs to be mapped and explored. And doing this, Robison says, could be crucial.
And we know for a fact, especially in something like depression, that there are huge differences in male and female biology that drive these disease effects. And if we ignore that, we ignore lots of opportunities to find out new and important things about these diseases. And we did it for 100 years.
But now, hopefully, eventually, this will mean better treatments. I'm Kate Wells, Michigan Radio News.